You see, what God is saying is if we're going to reduce complaining and arguing, which opens the door to the enemy and to its destructive power, we must hold ourselves accountable. Nobody else. Yeah, but they... doesn't matter. But they're terrible. But they're no good. They're an idiot. Doesn't matter. How are you doing in your own right?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. The Bible has a lot to say about the destructive power of the tongue. A simple slip of the tongue, and we can cause irreparable damage to our family or to others whom we love. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of guarding against murmuring and complaining. From the series Me and My Big Mouth, here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Words in Excess, Complaining.
Let's take out our notes as we talk about me and my big mouth. Now, how many of you grumble, let's say, a lot of the time, hardly at all, none at all? How many of you say a lot of the time? Raise your hand, okay? Some of the time, raise your hand. None of the time. Are you lying? Okay. We all have some modicum of grumbling in us where we grumble, we complain, and we argue. I want to know, what would make us stop grumbling? Would it be that if you had more money, if you were happier, if we had more, if the U.S. were in a better state in our economy? Well, according to the Business Week magazine, we all should be extremely happy. You know why? Listen to this. We are entertained out of our minds. We have great pets and we have good eats. Say what? Yeah. Listen to this. Last year, we spent $11 billion on movies alone, $11.2 billion on recorded music, like into our iPods, etc., $12 billion on video games, and listen to this, last year, we spent $52 billion on our pets. And just so that we have something to eat during our movies, on junk food, we spent, and fast foods, last year, $152 billion. So just that alone, Americans have spent over $200 billion in money just to keep ourselves entertained with our pets and eating junk food. We should be really happy. Why should we grumble or complain? We, as Americans, have 4.6% of the world's population, and yet we consume over 40% of the world's resources. Right here in good old USA. Did you know that in America, we have twice as many malls as we have schools? And even yet, with all of that wonderfulness, in a poll that was given recently, now, remember, per capita, Americans are the richest people in the world. Yet, in this recent poll, they found that 81% of us want more than what we already currently earn. And yet, 94% of Americans polled think that Americans are too materialistic. But 89% still think we should have the right to have whatever we desire. So with all of that, what's the results? With all of this wealth, with all of this happiness, since 1950, our technology has increased at a faster rate than any other nation in the world, with movies, lights, televisions, video games. Yet, since 1950, we are 10% more depressed than we were in the 50s, and we are 40% more violent as a nation. The results? There are 90 other nations in the world that spend less on themselves than we spend on our pets. 90 nations. We spend more on jewelry, shoes, makeup, and watches than we do on the average on our children's education. Yet we are the most bored, one of the highest suicide rates in the world, and the murder rates, and we have the most people of any nation committed to asylums and prisons in America. And we have so much, yet, guess what else? We grumble more than any other nation in the world. But maybe it's because we have too much, I don't know. Or maybe that grumbling and bad decisions go hand in hand. That's right. So we want to talk about the danger of grumbling when God has given so much to us. Grumbling, how can we reduce that? As we find in the book of James, because when you grumble, you make some bad decisions. Let's read what it says in James 5, verses 9 and 10 out loud. Go. Don't grumble about each other's, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. For look, the great judge is standing at the door. For examples, look at the prophets spoke in the name of the Lord. In other words, the Bible is saying, look at the history. Look at the history of Israel, and you will see that grumbling and complaining caused them to make some terrible decisions. In fact, you take a look at the Israelites, complaining and arguing and grumbling. They had that down to a science. As soon as they left Israel, they began grumbling and complaining. And under the leadership of Moses, it was their grumbling and complaining and arguing that ultimately would keep them out of the full promises of God. They never made it to the promised land. They journeyed towards the promised land. They advanced towards the promised land. They were hanging around others that were going towards the promised land, but they never entered the fullness of God's promises. What restricted them? What disqualified them? God's promise? No. It was their response to the situations and circumstances around them with grumbling and arguing and complaining. Until God finally said, this whole generation will die in the wilderness because of their complaining. Now, I'm not saying, here's a disclaimer, that when there's problems, we should just stick our heads in the sand. No. You can respond to problems in two ways. One, you can grumble and complain and argue about them, which will lead to bad decisions. Or you can use patience and wisdom with understanding, resolve them and rectify them biblically. You can choose. You can grumble and complain and argue, which will lead to some bad decisions, and you'll never get God's full promises, or you can deal with them with patience and wisdom and understanding. You see, it's not the problems, it's how we resolve them. You either resolve them biblically, or you procrastinate and you let it fester because you don't want to deal with it at all. You got to be able to know how to deal with things. If you don't, will be like the story of this man in the hospital. He was on his dying bed and called for the priest to give him his last rites. And the priest came next to the bed and was talking with him. And pretty soon this man is just flailing in the bed. Now he's just ready to die almost. He can't even talk. And he's in intensive care, but he just starts flailing around as if he wanted to say something. And the priest knew that he couldn't talk. So he handed him, he said, you want to say something? Can you write it down? And so gave him a tablet and a pen. And the guy wrote something on a tablet with his pen. And then boom, he died. So his whole family gathered around, and the priest picked up the piece of paper, and he said, I think these are his last words. Let's read what he has to say. And he read it, and it said, will you please move? You're standing on my oxygen tube. You need to deal with problems, but how you deal with them will be very important. So, how then do we reduce our complaining and our arguing that the Bible says will lead to terrible decisions? Here's some of the things. Let's write them down. Would you write them down with me? Number one, here it is. Number one, be convinced of its destructive power. No, not just know about it or understand it. Be what? Convinced of its destructive power. Let's read what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 10 and 11. Go. Don't grumble as some did. Here it is. And were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Would you underline destroyed by the destroyer? Who's the destroyer? John 10, 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Did you know that the way we open the door to the enemy, the Bible says, is don't complain as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. We need to be convinced of the destructive power of us not wanting to resolve something, but instead complain and argue and gripe. Now, God is not saying don't resolve it. It's how we resolve it. God's not saying don't resolve it. God is saying how we resolve it is absolutely crucial to our futures. We need to be problem solvers. The question is, how are you going to do it? With anger? With arguing? With complaining? By grumbling? Or to say, Lord, would you give me wisdom and comprehension and insight and understanding so that I can biblically rectify and resolve this? And then all of heaven's store just floods through you with wisdom and insight to be able to undo, to rectify this. But if we resolve it poorly through grumbling, it shuts the door to God and opens it up to the destroyer. It was China. They built this 4,000-mile-long wall, now called the Great Wall of China, to keep the Mongols out on the north and protect the people on the southern side in China. And as you know, Elwin is tall. He's probably from the Mongolian tribe. So it was to keep him out. And that's why he migrated to Hawaii. And so they built this huge wall, some like 20 meters high, which is about 60 feet. And it was impregnable, impenetrable. No one could get through that. And the Mongols tried and tried and couldn't. But one day, boom, they came through. How? Did they breach the walls? No. Did they catapult over? No. At one of the gates, they bribed a gatekeeper. And they opened the gates to them. And I thought, then the enemy came in. You know what opens the gates to the enemy, to our homes, our families, our marriages? The Bible says it's complaining. We start to grumble and complain. There starts a spirit that's toxic and cancerous. Some time ago, I went to a dermatologist, and because I'm out in the sun a lot, I get some of these sunspots, and I have him check it every year. And so he looked at one, and he said, oh, here's one. I've got to burn this one off. How many of you had spots burned off of you? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the old people. And so I'm included. And so I went in, and he just got his little burn torch, like an acetylene torch or something, just and burned this thing off. And I said, why did you burn it off? He said, because that burn spot or that spot, that sunspot, is precancerous. And if you're not careful, those things could turn into melanoma, one of the fastest growing cancers that mankind can be infected with. And I didn't know that. And I thought, you know, I bet complaining is like that. We think it's benign. We think it's like no big deal. But complaining is a precancer. And if you leave it alone and you make it normal, then it begins to become cancerous, like melanoma, with devastating results, and it escalates. Start small, but it escalates. Let's read what it says in Galatians 5. Go. Instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always biting and devouring one another. Watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Because see, at first, it's not that big of a deal. But it's precancerous. And if we don't intentionally burn that out, it can be like melanoma in relationships. And it has a life of its own, and it escalates. So how do we reduce complaining and grumbling? Because the Bible says it's like opening the door to the enemy. How do we reduce that in our lives? Well, the first is we must be convinced of its destructive power. And spiritually and scripturally, it's like cancer. Cancer. Second thing is this, and if we're going to reduce it, just like going in to check those spots so you could burn off the precancerous ones, the second is this, would you write down, and it has to be done through us being willing to, here it is, live intentionally. Intentionally. A great life never happens automatically. Great marriages, great men of faith, great women of faith, they are only built intentionally, on purpose. That's why the scripture gives us so many instructions that are like commands. Don't do this and don't do that, because regardless of how I feel, regardless of what others have done, there is a command that says, don't do it. Yeah, but, doesn't matter. Don't do this. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And let's read one of those in Ephesians 4:29. Go. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so what you say will do good to those who hear you. Yeah. Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that's why God, knowing how important this is, continues and says in Philippians 2:14, let's read this next one. Go. In everything you do, here it is, stay away from complaining and, would you circle, stay away. Stay away. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Stay away from it. Why? Because we're convinced of its destructive power. It's like melanoma. Melanoma. But you got to do that intentionally, folks. I didn't bring my life planner, but if I did, I would show you starting in February and March and April, God had been dealing with me about the words that I spoke. And in the middle, there's a little fold in the life planner, and it said monthly objectives. And if you see me doing devotions or anywhere with my life planner, you can ask me and I'll show you that I had been writing on there for the last 3 months. Here it is, monthly objective, no hurtful words, edify only. And I turned it the next month, same thing, and this month too. Because one of the things that I am beginning to understand is I complain too much, even a little is precancerous. So I've got to reduce that, because if you are complaining, even under your breath, you discourage and depress yourself. And one of the things I have to be very careful of is discouraging myself and moving into depression. So I just am real careful, and we all need that. And so I would suggest that if you have got that life planner, right in that center section, no hurtful words, just never is heard a discouraging word. We all need to write that in there, whether you can sing or not. Never is to be heard a discouraging word. Oh, well, what about the problems? Oh, we're gonna resolve them biblically, but we're not gonna default to the old way that we used to, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Do you remember last week? Quick, slow, slow. But let each one be quick to, slow to, and slow to, because the anger of man, even in a million years, will never be used by God to accomplish his purposes. When I'm arguing or complaining, even if people do it because he's complaining about it, the end result will be poor. Because it doesn't matter what I get done through anger or grumbling and arguing, the end result will be poor. It will never in a million years accomplish the purposes of God. You say, but Wayne, wait a minute now, wait a minute. What if somebody else starts the argument and they just rile me up? Doesn't matter. You see, we can always acquit ourselves if we compare ourselves with others, because you're always going to be better than the other person, because that's the way we see things. But the Bible tells us if we're going to live great lives, it has to be lived intentionally. So here is the third thing. In order to reduce grumbling and complaining, would you write down number three? Keep yourself accountable. Now, don't wait for others to hold you accountable. Keep what? Yourself. Accountable. Keep yourself. It's one of the secrets of a great life are men and women who have developed a self-governing system on the inside. something that when they're starting to cross the line, that like those rumble strips on the freeways and the mainland, when you're starting to fall asleep and you're drifting, all of a sudden you hit this rumble strip, and you veer back on, whoa, what is it? It's a wake-up call is what it is. Because a lot of people doze off, truckers doze off, and there are rumble strips on both sides. And it wakes you up because it just rattles your fillings right out of your teeth. But it wakes you up and it gets you back on the straight and narrow. On the inside of us, there needs to be a warning system that when we're grumbling or arguing or complaining, there needs to be just something that says, whoa, stop. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can rectify it. You can resolve it. You can fix the problem, but do it biblically. Otherwise, God's not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Never in a million years. Never in a million years. So we must hold who accountable? Yeah, otherwise we'll compare ourselves with others and we'll always come out smelling like a rose. Let's read what it says here in Galatians 6. Go. Be sure to do what you should, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Would you circle the word, be sure to do what? Here it is. You should. And you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else. And then would you underline the last sentence, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Yeah, but what about that other person? We are each responsible for ourselves. Let's read in 2 Corinthians. Go. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test. Yeah, take a look at how many times that second person is listed. Listen, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. You see, what God is saying is if we're going to reduce complaining and arguing, which opens the door to the enemy and to its destructive power, we must hold ourselves accountable. Nobody else. Yeah, but they... doesn't matter. But they're terrible. But they're, I was going to say a bad word. They're a butthead, you know. They're no good. They're an idiot. Doesn't matter. How are you doing in your own right? And you say, but Wayne, what if you mess up? What if you say things you shouldn't? Would you write down in the bullet then? Here it is. Correct things quickly. Correct them quickly. If you let it fester, it gets worse and worse and worse. The sooner the better. Let's read what Proverbs 17 says. Go. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it. Yeah, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. When you just start to see it going south, say, oops, time to abandon this ship. Abandon the quarrel. Don't let it continue. The worst thing is to let melanoma go once you know it's melanoma. It'll take your life that fast. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen in just a second, but let me read to you what Proverbs says. It says, when this happens, don't even go to sleep until you take care of it, because if not, it will toxify your life and you'll start making bad decisions hand over fist. Here it is. Listen to this. And then we'll put some up on the screen and you can read the last portion. But let me read the first portion to you. Proverbs 6, 2 through 5 says this. My son or my daughter, if you have been snared by the words of your mouth, if you have been caught with the words of your tongue, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Now here's the rest of it, and let's read it together. Go. Go humble yourself. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, this is what he's saying. He's saying, when you mess up with your words, humble yourself. I mean, when? Now. The sooner the better. Listen very carefully. I don't know if this is a scripture, but maybe it should be. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm, while it's still warm.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Words in Excess, Complaining by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.